2 minutes? Oh,
all right.
What's a penguin?
What penguin? All right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
So we would love for you to stand ever so briefly so we could send you with a blessing. Is that anyone? Please stand as so to indicate your leave taking. Yeah. See, now I've got veggie tails in my head. This is sitting. This is standing. I'm standing. Okay.
That's a veggie tails reference.
I am punchy moon, you guys. Okay, so nobody's leaving. Great. The service tonight, all you need is your own hymn book. It's just going to be a lot of music and maybe a little bit of preaching. So we're just... Are you guys calling out the hymn number? Do you want me to
do that? Yeah, I can
do that.
That'd be great.
Okay. So, have fun. That's all I'm going to say. It's... very informal this evening. I hope it's life-giving for you.
Cool. Please join us in singing Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, number 807, 807.
Stranger, wandering from the forest.
God, the grace of Christ and the fullness of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. As we strive to walk a life of justice and inclusion, summon us by your light to walk bravely in love through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Please join us in singing Beautiful Savior, number 838. 838. We're going to do verses 1, 3, and 4, so exclude verse 2.
Salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Word of God, word of life.
As you feel comfortable, I invite you to please stand for the gospel. This is the gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O God. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The prophet said, Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, Follow me, and I will make you fish for human beings. Immediately, they left their nets and followed Jesus. Going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in a boat with their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. He went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the dominion of heaven and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the Holy Gospel. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So, I mean this in the best of ways. How risky are your choices? I mean, how righteous are these risks if you take them? Okay, what I'm asking is, remember last week we talked about righteous, if you were here, righteousness, don't think of self-righteousness like self-serving, but think of righteous like right-related, like right relationships with the stuff of the world, with the people of the world, with the planet, right? So do you take risks and righteous ones? I mean, have you ever experienced sort of a sense of risk because of the nature in which you related to things like possessions, people, and planet? you know, like you could get in trouble for your actions with, I don't know, maybe some sort of authority for things you said or people that you related to or choices that you made. Not for doing something wrong, but for doing something right, something righteous. How risky have you been willing to be? Today's gospel text starts with Jesus learning that John the Baptist has been arrested. Arrested. This was his cousin, his friend, his baptizer, the one who really got the movement going so that Jesus could get the fullness of God things going in the world, right? This John had been risky in his righteousness. You see, he called his local politician out on his dehumanizing behavior, wanting to hold the powerful accountable when their preferences suck life from others. He called out his tetrarch, as it was called, his governor, the one that we now know as Herod. He called this man out. He called him to task and named the destroying behavior that he was entering into. And John got arrested for it. So now Jesus, it says, because of John's arrest, it says that Jesus withdrew. He withdrew to the region of Galilee. Now, when you hear Galilee, think rural, think backwards, think removed. Think a ragtag town where no good, God-fearing Jew would want to hang out. And the word used to withdraw that Jesus was rushing off to this place was a sense of immediacy, of fleeing, like he fled to Galilee with haste. He got out of the region of Jerusalem where he had been with John, and he went north to the region of Galilee. Now, before we're quick to judge, which, to be fair, I had been in past when reading this about Jesus, scholar Raj Nadella sets us straight. He says, you see, there's this quote, perhaps you noticed it, because it had the word Zebulun and Naphtali, and if you were like me many years ago, I was like, what the heck does that mean? These are geographical regions. There is this quote from the prophet Isaiah that falls in this text here, saying that Jesus' actions in Galilee, which is, think, the land of outsiders, that these people have been sitting in darkness, but now they see a great light. Saying that those who have been in that region, in the shadow of death, on them light has dawned. So they take this prophetic story from the time of Isaiah, and then Jesus, by going to the corner of Galilee, Jesus was making a political statement. To paraphrase what Nadella writes, the Roman Empire had been subjecting people to darkness and death for generations. Leaders had made death and shadow integral aspects of society, trying to normalize them. So by bringing in Isaiah's prophecy here, Matthew is proclaiming that the people who have lived in death, not in times of Isaiah, but now, here, during the Roman, being occupied by Roman authority, that the people who have lived in death and shadow of Rome are now able to see a great light. What Matthew is saying is that Jesus is the one to lead the people out of oppression. He is suggesting that Jesus will destroy the power of death, and that Rome had come to embody, and that Jesus will expose the destructive ethos of the Roman Empire. And he will demonstrate that darkness and death need not be accepted as normal. By Jesus withdrawing to Galilee, he was stepping right into the heart of empire. And it was then, and it would be for the rest of his ministry, that Jesus consistently, boldly stepped into dangerous spaces so he could lead others to safety. So I wonder what it would be like to walk with a leader like that. To walk with one willing to take risks so that others can find their way to a better life. I wonder how our walk would be changed by walking with a person like that. So I'm going to invite us into a space of risk. We're going to sing a little hip-hop riff during the sermon. Are we ready? Okay.
God, show me the way because the world is trying to break me down.
Jesus, walk with me. Don't worry, it'll come back. Maybe you were worried that it would. So I want to talk about risk because we tend to play it safe. Sure, there are some external risks that we take, leaving your life to go live in this freaky small village in the mountains, whether you're here for 3 weeks or 3 years. Yeah, it's a little bit of a risk. And we may do other risky things, like choosing a course of study that makes our parents shake their head, like picking a strange place to go live out that course of study. What jobs we apply for can be risky. What relationships we enter into can be risky. And the relationships that we decide to call to an end can be riskier even yet. All big external risks, and I do not want to minimize them. Because these risks, I mean, they can be fun. Scary at times, yes, but they can be fun and life-enhancing, exhilarating, liberating even. But those aren't the risks I want to talk about. Where I believe that you and I play it safe, where we walk cautiously, is the internal stuff. These are the moves that inform all the other risks that we do or don't take. The internal risks that we choose to face or not. And when we ignore the hard stuff, when we are unwilling to take some of these internal risks, our ability to function in the world will be difficult. Because our inability to face these internal risks will actually lop us off at the knees and our walking will be a mess. I mean, think about it. If you are uneasy about something, if there is something significant in your life that is weighing you down, and you do not risk dealing with the internal crud that surrounds it, what happens when things confront us? When things catch us unready for the walking that is required in those situations? Well, we feel like we have been sucker punched because we've not done the internal work. We feel unprepared, and then we get angry, we get judgmental, and we may even choose to blame others for the work we haven't done. My dad used to struggle with anger a lot, mostly because he was crazy insecure from stuff that went down in his childhood. But he really, when he got panicked about something, when he got uncomfortable, he frequently got angry. And I can remember times in our household that when things got really bad, he would go for a walk. It felt to me a little bit like he was fleeing, you know, like Jesus making a hasty exit. But like Jesus, he was heading into a place where he could walk and do the internal work, right? Because upon his return, after the walking, after rumbling with some of his internal crap, my dad was ready to re-enter family again. He was ready to be more authentically present, more resilient, and more loving. So I wonder what it would be like to intentionally walk like that. To walk being willing to take risks so that we can find a healthier life for ourselves. I wonder how our lives would be changed if we chose to risk like that.
God, show me the way because my feet are starting to drag me down.
Jesus, walk with me. So Jesus was willing to walk a life of internal and external risk. He took time away in prayer to deal with his own crap. He took time for one-on-ones with people to call them out on their internal stuff. And he went toe-to-toe with leaders, speaking his authentic truth to their dysfunction. So for the things that Jesus said, for the people he related to, the choices he made, for just trying to do something right, something righteous that honored all people, he risked his life. If you want to walk with Jesus, you have to be ready to do risky stuff. Not death for religious reasons. Jesus' death on the cross was intended to fulfill all that. But real risk, where life is honored and we have to stay present to the pain. Working on our insides to better equip our outsides. You want to do something difficult? It takes training. It takes practice. It takes repetition. Want to walk with Jesus? Like those fishermen, you're going to have to do something risky. You're going to have to risk throwing some things down and moving into a place of mystery.
God, show me the way because the world is trying to take me down.
With me. Amen.
Please join us in singing Just a Closer Walk with Thee, number 697. And this will be a little different than as written. It's a little twangier, so just bear with us.
Bye. Closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
We're now going to sing the prayers of the people. So it's the same song that we did last week. So the community will sing the repetition. So this is your part.
Ooh, we lift up our prayers.
Perfect. And then we'll sing for prayers over that refrain. And then the one to look out for is when we say, for a chance for a prayer for everyone, our petitions will stop. And then we invite you to add a prayer either silently or aloud or spoken. And then after that, we'll say, for our words and for our silence. And then that's when your part stops. And then we'll all come together at the end and say, ooh, ooh, amen.
For the church and its many shapes of steeples, we lift up our prayers.
For the hungry, for the cold,
we lift up our prayers. For the young and for the old,
we lift up our prayers.
For our joy and for our pain,
for the sunshine, for the rain,
we lift up our hands.
For the dying, for the sick,
we lift up our prayers.
For our loved ones and the glue that makes us stick, we lift. For your wisdom as to how we draw our lines,
we lift up our hands.
For the world and its frantic pace,
we lift up our hands.
For the places where we find deeper space, for the chance for a prayer for everyone.
Thank you.
silence. Ooh,
the peace of Christ be with you all.
Also with you.
Let's take a moment to share a word of peace with one another.
Peace with the Lord. Sorry, my name is
Peace be with you.
We continue to worship with our offering. Again, this is going to be the last time that we're doing Wild Grief as well. And staff will be talking about what's next at staff meeting on Wednesday. But if you wanted to give something to Wild Grief and don't have something with you tonight, you can find me or David, and we'll get it to where it needs to go. Thank you. Because David's back. Because David's back.
Thank you.
movie. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's also a movie.
I love that movie.
Is Pixar movies bad for you? Whenever the soundtrack is in?
I love it.
They're so good, but it's always like, oh god, it's so good. Like the up soundtrack.
Oh, it's unreal. So, so good. Yeah.
All right. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Oh, shoot. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give our thanks. There it is. All right. It is indeed right, our practice and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O God, for being so fully present in this world and so full of goodness for all that you have created. And so it is that we remember the gift of your Son, that in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Our loving Jesus also taught us a prayer. I invite you to pray in the version that is most comfortable to you.
Our Creator, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, but deliver us from evil.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please know that all are welcome to this table, as Jesus is the host and it is he who invites you to come. If you want to come up and participate in communion, there are a bunch of different options because we don't want there to be any dietary barriers either. So Rory has got the gluten-free wafers, then I will be next with bread. And then the common cup, you can either dip the bread into that or you can drink directly from it. Otherwise, you can take a cup, and then wine is the first pitcher and grape juice is the second one, and then you just put your empty cups there. If communion is not part of your practice but you still want to participate and come up, I would love to give you a blessing. So you just kind of come up with your arms crossed and I'll know to offer a blessing. Again, the table is open. I invite you to participate as you feel comfortable. Know that you're loved either way. All right.
Thank you.
And now the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and hold you in grace. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful God, you have kept your promise to us in this meal, nourishing us with the gift of salvation. Now send us forth in peace that we may testify to your goodness and share the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
Please join in our closing hymn, How Great Thou Art, number 856, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Some wonder, consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle, my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. My love shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou.
Walk with courage. Thanks be to God. Right.